This is Sipping with Sammy. I am Mr. Flash, and only the one and only Sipping with Sammy, Sam Malone, Barstool Roog. If you ain't sipping with Sammy, you ain't sipping right. Please get your fucking life together. Damn, Sammy. Yup! What's up with y'all, man? Happy Thursday, happy hour. All that flyness. You know what I mean? Hopefully everything's all right with you. Make sure my guests is all right over here, man. Okay. I don't want to lose nobody before we take off.
With the yellow.
Yeah, man, I go hard. But make sure y'all like, comment, subscribe, share, let somebody know we over here. I appreciate that. Shout out to my sponsor, Rich Jules. This is Sippin' with Sammy, Sam Malone, Barstool Roog, here with Rich Jules, the official sponsor of the Sippin' with Sammy podcast. Tap in with Rich Jules, male or female jewelry, black-owned, small business. Tap in with Rich Jules, Sippin' with Sammy approves. Salute Rich Jules, tap in with her, appreciate that. And today, I have my geyser in here, man. Introduce yourself to the people, please.
How's everybody doing? Hello, world. My name is Lump, Life's Ugly, Money Problem, mm-hmm. Comedian from Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Life's Ugly, so smile more.
That part.
Host of the No Chops podcast. I'm relatively new. We only got two out. The third one be dropping Sunday.
Awesome.
But we started recording them in December. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing stand-up for 13 years. I'm a native Philadelphian. 4-for-4 on sports, Phillies, Flyers, Sixers, Eagles. You know what I mean?
Just regular Philly, funny Philly nigga.
Yeah, I'm just a regular Philly.
You know what I mean? But I just want to salute you. I believe Janelle put me on to you years ago over Facebook.
Madison.
Yeah.
Shout out to her. Okay, word.
That's my cousin. That's family. Yeah, and then since then, I've seen you out and about. Mm-hmm. And I even was on your block one day. You was on your way to work.
No, that's
not your block?
Yeah, that is my block. Yeah. But I wasn't on my way to work. Uh-huh. The day that I saw you, it was they were doing a memorial for PNB.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
that's why I was out there.
And I came outside. I chilled as much as I could, but right. I was getting ready to catch a train to Edison, New Jersey.
Oh, you had a gig.
I was hosting the 420 Expo.
Okay, all right.
Was it 2 summers ago? It was either 2022 or 2023.
It was when Rock passed, so probably 2022.
Yeah, it was 2022. Mm-hmm. And that's when I seen you there.
So
that
you
is
said
my
you was
block.
On your way to gig. You was on your way to a
yeah.
A
I
gig,
was going.
Not
yeah,
the gig.
I was out.
That's love. Like, so that night went good.
Yeah, it went well. I almost got arrested.
Oh man!
So I ended up catching an Amtrak train mm-hmm. from Philly to Edison, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm 46, mm-hmm. and so the last time I had gotten on the train, you could just get on and pay. Mm. And I didn't realize, mm-hmm. you know, 9/11, mm-hmm. you know, what is that, technology and mm-hmm. all that. Mm-hmm. You have to pay for your ticket beforehand. But I didn't know any of that. My stepmom used to work for Amtrak. So we would get on the train all the time. We just had to show our ID.
Yeah, and it was regular.
Right. Yeah. And I hadn't, but then I got a car, I'm driving, so I haven't been traveling. Right.
Absolutely.
So I got on the train, man, to go up there. And I'm sitting there, and they taking tickets from everybody. And he said, "You don't have a ticket, come with me." So I went with him. It was about 5 of us. Mm-hmm. And they had this, like, in this little corridor or whatever. And these two ladies are like, "Well, where's your ticket?" And I'm like, "I don't have a ticket. I thought I could buy one on the train." They like, "It's $88. I'm like, "I'm not going to Boston. I'm going to Edison."
Right.
And he was like, "Because you didn't buy a ticket up front, you have to pay
the
full..."
They treat it like the turnpike.
Right. You got to mm-hmm. pay the full price. So I'm sitting there, and I'm frustrated because I ain't even had the money at the time. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have cash on me. It was on my debit card, and right. they, of course, they don't take.
Right.
Yeah, they don't take cash no more.
So with all this technology, y'all still want cash?
Right.
Right.
So I'm like, I don't have it, and they was like, "Well, we can have you arrested." And then this Jamaican conductor just walked up out of nowhere, and he was just like, "Why you get on train with no ticket?" And I was like, "The last time I got on," he was like, "times have changed." I was mm-hmm. like, "All right, you never do it again," and then let me go sit down. So I got a free ride.
Shout out to him, yo.
Yeah, shout out to him for real. I got a free ride to Edison.
He seen it about to happen to you. He said, I got it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad he stepped in.
It was his good deed for the evening.
Yeah, and I ended up having a blast that weekend.
That's what's up. That's
craziest
what's up.
Shit ever, though. The next day, roofers are working on the house.
Mm-hmm.
Set the house on fire. Third floor got burnt up. So I had to come right back home. But everything worked out. It got taken care of. It was like an incidental. They went up there with the stuff. They were supposed to retar the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody left something on, laid it down. The whole thing went up. Luckily, the bull caught it beforehand, but they still had to call the fire department.
Absolutely.
Like, I couldn't go back in the crib for a couple weeks.
You got to check the integrity of the situation.
Yeah, they had
that.
To make sure everything was everything. But, yeah.
That's wild. So you had a good weekend after I saw you.
Yeah.
Mixed with some bullshit.
Yeah, mixed with some
Sounds
bullshit.
Sounds like life's ugly. You know what I'm saying?
Life's ugly, money problems.
Sounds like what goes on. But you said you've been doing comedy since when?
2011.
2011?
Yeah.
Why comedy?
I started out as a poet. Like, I know my dad had wrote some poetry. Shout out to him, Big Hand. And I love music. My pop made sure that, all of his sons and daughters subsequently, loved music. So we listened to everything from Elton John to Hall & Oates to Queen to Cream. Like, we listened to all that, including the regular household black stuff.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And so I started writing poetry. And then as I got a little older, hip-hop came, into my life. We, did a couple little mixtapes. Mm-hmm. Nothing major. Like, we ain't go perform in front of nobody. But we, stole some beats and put them on cassette tapes and
Absolutely.
Rapped over them and all that. And then when I stopped rapping, I just kept the name Lump.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually Lumpy Hunch. But, right.
Yeah.
So, my man, I have a homie named Fat Ass Meatloaf. Meatloaf, I used to be skinny on Instagram. That's my man. Shout to him. He is fucking hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, listen, if I find somewhere for you to perform at, I'll go up too. And so we ended up.
Why is everybody stand up shit a deal or bet?
It, I don't know. That's just how I got into it. Like, I've been an asshole my whole life because I got it from my
father. So you was confident enough to be like, he deserved a look, so I'm going to just go up there regardless.
Yeah, I'll go
I'm
up
good.
There just to get you up there. And we ended up at Lickety Split at 4th and South. It's a pizza joint downstairs. It used to be. It's changed hands a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pizza joint downstairs in like a full-service bar on the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
And back when I used to work at the stadium, when we, at the end of every year, all the cooks from the 250 Kitchen at Vet Stadium would go there. We would go there. And, get some pizza and drink and all that and have a little celebration. So years later, that was like 05, 03, 04. No, the Vet ended in 02. So, it was a long time.
Yeah.
But so when I went back for comedy, I knew the building and all that. We went up. I had a big legal pad with my thoughts written out on it. And, of course, Meatloaf went up and fucking destroyed. And I went up. I'm reading my shit off. But that day when I was there, somebody from the Laugh House came down the street.
Because
the Laugh House was on 3rd, between 2nd and 3rd and South.
Yep.
And they was like, the comedy club, blah, 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 blah. They open mic is, I believe it was either on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I was like, all right, I'm going to go down there and check it out. At the same time, I got on Twitter, and I'm just following a bunch of Philly people, and I ended up following Comedy by Toure Gordon.
The legend.
And yes, the fucking
the legend.
Oh, hell.
I say all the time, y'all talk about him enough.
They don't. Yeah. But it was saying that he was throwing a comedy workshop at the Laugh House.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, this is a double deal right here. I get to learn some. And at some point, they're going to put me up on the stage at the Laugh House. I didn't even realize how daunting of a task that was. But I'm like, all
I'm
right,
like,
cool.
Yo, you thinking.
I'm like, yeah, I didn't think it all the way through.
I felt
through.
Like you skipped some steps, but yeah.
Yeah, and then, so I ended up taking the course or whatever. The first time Toure ever saw me, he said, you need more stage time. He was like, you got some stuff. And when I first came out, I was just all one-liners. I was just all stuff that,
Hashtag king back then. Well, before hashtags.
The early days of Twitter, I was a monster. Oh, God.
Oh,
but
man.
When I first started doing stand-up, like you said, you got to find more stage time. And I literally, I've been chasing it ever since.
I heard that.
You know what I mean? I still, to this day, and I guess it's going okay. You know what I mean? I've been on the Michael Collier show. Shout out to Michael Collier.
Shout out to Michael.
Twice in the past month, two months.
I actually saw, and, I saw that you did that.
And killed both Jones.
He seems to like you.
Yeah, I got a couple stamps.
He told you something nice that you had shared on Facebook. You going to share it?
Which one? About to quit my job and moving on?
I mean?
Yeah, but what's crazy about that? So I did, shout out to Keith from up the block.
Shout out to Keith,
and
man.
For those that don't know, I'm affiliated, but I didn't graduate from the Philadelphia Comedy College, mm-hmm. which is... Keith from up the block. And the biggest heart in that organization is Baby Keys. So Drea and I love them with all my heart. But for years, me and Keith have been, contemporaries. Mm-hmm. We don't... Like, we don't beef or nothing. I consider him like a friend. He could call me, right. He could call me for anything. But in comedy, Keith is above me. I will admit that in open court. Because he's been doing entertaining way longer. Right?
Urban Expressions, Keith from Upper Block, by the way.
Right.
Shout out to my bestie, Shelly Show.
He has had a few great ideas. Like a stand up at the movies. If you've never been to one, check that out.
Oh, exactly, what stand up at the movies is.
They just had one this past weekend. I couldn't make it to because I was booked. That where they showed a movie. It was a Porch Pirate. Shout to Darren Vasquez.
I saw that.
Yeah, and I want to see it. I still haven't seen it, but I know a lot of people that's in it, and I know him.
It's one of them for me too. It's on my news feed. I gotta watch it.
Yeah, I gotta check that
out. It's one of them for me too.
But so Keith has thrown many shows. He's had comedy competitions, this, that, and the third. But he handpicks everyone that he wants on his shows, and so most of the time, he can call me, yo, I need you for this to be a grip, anything in the background that's cool. And I used to badger him like, yo, what's up with a show? Put me on something. And he was like, when I got you. Mm-hmm. So the Philadelphia Comedy College has graduated, if I'm not mistaken, over 170 students, right? And then they'll have, it's like a 10-week course. And, they teach you the tricks, trades, mental, this, that, and the third. And
find your voice.
Yeah, and take pictures. They do everything for you. Get you your reels, all that. And but every now and then, they'll have, like, a special session, right? Mm-hmm. And so the special session that they got, I think it was January 11th of this year, was Michael Collier. Mm. And so I actually borrowed money to go. Mm-hmm. To that, to go to the lesson that he was teaching, and I was like the second or third person there. But when I came around the corner, because the comedy college is that it's inside of Temple University at the Howard Gittes Building on the corner of 13th and Montgomery.
Right.
So when I come around, I park my car literally at like 6:55. I walk around the corner and I'm like straightening, get my head together and everything. I walk to the corner. When I turn the corner, Keith is there with his car. He's bringing some stuff in. He says to me before he even greets me, he said, I told myself if you came here today, I would make sure that you perform for Michael Collier. Right. Like, and so all that in my mind that I had ever thought about as far as comedy and Keith with me, like that went, like, you don't ever have to put me on nothing else.
But, and I'm gonna slow down real quick. Keith, like you said, been in entertainment a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He has his methods, his regimen, his way of doing things.
Correct.
Of comfortability.
Correct.
Of certain things. And you was just missing that one puzzle piece. He's seen everything outside you. And that's dope because he never stopped watching. He's just keeping it real with you.
Well, nah, we like I said, we contemporary, so we'll end up on the same show or whatever and all that kind of stuff.
But
and
you were still in mind as somebody that he could still help.
Yes, and I would.
And that's important.
With any comedian that I come across, if we have, if we are okay, and I hear you tell a joke, I'll come to you after the joke if I have something for it or if I have an angle that maybe you could use.
Is that tradition? Is that typically welcome?
Depends on the
comment.
Are
most people receptive to it? Do people feel some type of way about, like...
Oh, if I come to them and say, listen, this would make it better?
Let me help you punch that up, basically.
I mean, any advice in comedy in real life, I
treat... Like, you're humble.
I try to be.
live comedians ain't
nah, true. The people not. So, but let me say this. When it comes to any kind of advice, you know, life, love, cars, anything, what you got to do with it is you have to take all of it in, you know what I mean, digest it, and poop out the waste.
Like, I believe it.
You know what I'm saying? So if you, I'm with you on that. You know what I mean? You keep the nutrients. Mm-hmm. That's basically the type time I be on.
You
can take something
from the shit. You don't need all that shit.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's the type time I be on. So I've had incidents where I've, like, spoken to a comic afterwards and said, well, yo, if you say it this way. And they go, yeah, what the, who the fuck is you? And I'd be like, you're right.
Absolutely correct.
I apologize. I overstepped my bounds. And I go back. And then later on, most times later on, they'll come back like, yo, I thought about what you said. Yo, my bad on like acting like that. I just didn't. But thank you. Mm-hmm. And then, you know what I mean? You know, I don't have to be cool with everybody. But I just want respect.
That's important, too.
That's
not it. Having to be cool. Because what I was thinking was, when there is the resentment part, this is somebody that you looking at as a contemporary, possibly. Mm-hmm. And now y'all possibly at odds. There might be opportunity that you could have helped each other with that won't happen
because
of a misunderstanding, and everybody's pride is too cool to say, big homie, what you meant by that?
Right.
Because he might have been confused because, you know, sometimes a motherfucker tap you on your shoulder, they want something out your pocket.
Nah. I don't want... I mean...
No, not we you, can, but you, but know, how, what you know how this shit go, man. Yeah, people attach themselves to your boat quick.
True.
Quick.
True. That is true.
Motherfuckers all of a sudden become parasailers.
I mean, at the yeah, how about that? I didn't know this was a tandem sport all of a sudden. me in stand up, especially in Philly, because that's where I'm known. I like people have donned me to Pope, and what I say it is what I determine from that is basically I'm somebody of high esteem that holds no real power. And I'm okay with that. You know what I'm saying? It's like a figurehead. You know what I'm saying? It's like being the queen in England.
But that's the thing in Philly comedy. I feel like...
I used to be... And the reason why I take the Pope thing is because at least they stopped calling me the king of open mics.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I'm with you on that.
I was the king for many, many moons.
Like,
and,
bro, we talking about Keith. We talking about Torrey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Torrey done put hands on everybody. If you heard about him out of Philly, they done been around that brother.
That's true.
And learned some things from
him. That's true.
And he walks on that stage and Chappelle's that shit damn near.
Yes. Minus the smoking.
Yeah, without the smoking. But he'll go up there and just talk and it'll be ridiculous.
I can't wait till I get to that point. And I'm almost there now. If you
the Pope, where do we put them at? Like, it's so crazy. Like, the big guy that I don't want to say yields no power the way that you said it, but that's not... Where they supposed to be so, but everybody in the city know, and everybody know this city breeds talent.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting dichotomy. And I mean, everybody in due time, right? Comedy don't die.
No.
You get older, you get funny if you stay at it because hopefully, you have more life experience than that. You know what I mean? More stage experience. But like, we're one of them cities. Like, if you in Chicago and you funny, you on your way to New York.
Mm-hmm. What I will say about Philly, and this goes for a lot of cities, and it doesn't have to just be with comedy because it's a lot of the arts as well. Philly is one of those places where I could be the greatest thing ever here, but until I go to another city and make them love me like I'm supposed to be loved here, when I come back from that city, they'll go,
and everybody say that.
We knew him. We knew him the whole time. And it's not, and I don't take it as a disrespect. Plus, if you get big in Philly, the world takes you.
Immediately.
Yes. And what I mean by that is
no, you're right.
Phyllis Hyman, Teddy Pendergrass,
Meek Mill.
Patti LaBelle. I was getting there. Meek Mill. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you get big in Kevin Hart, if you get big from Philly, it's like Will Smith, the world, the roots, like the world just, it doesn't, it's not like a bad thing. It just engulfs you. The world accepts you with open arms. You know
the dichotomy about it or the irony in it is that Philly is a big city, but it's not a big city, right? So it feels like if you get popping here, this is wherever you would go from here would make this the small pond.
Always.
But as this always. Small pond is full of fucking piranhas.
Correct.
That's so correct. It's like that's you correct. Just blend in with the piranha.
What I will say to that is Philly won. I'm not dissing my city at all.
No, we're not doing that at all.
We definitely show love. And I mean, when I say what I just said, I meant that about, I mean, in general.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And not me, I don't want to be a fucking superstar.
I built multiple platforms off of the love that motherfuckers in this city got.
Right.
With people that's
I'm starting to build my platform now. You know what I'm saying? From people
and
that...
I'm excited for that, too.
I appreciate I'm that. I'm excited for that. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Excellence. Know, yeah, I got you. We definitely gonna come back. The only thing is we no smoking and drinking and where I'm at. Shout out to Excellence. Love them. Because that's who I'm, that my podcast is powered by. Philadelphia is a lovely city. We're still, if I'm not mistaken, we should be 7 or 8. But we're a top 10 city as far as size is
concerned. Size and population, right.
Right. And so, but when it comes to like entertainment and arts and that kind of stuff, we're more of a breeding ground or somewhere to cut your teeth.
Absolutely.
We're like, and no disrespect to Cleveland, we're like a Cleveland. You know what I'm saying? You can't. No, I shudder to think. Other than what's the dude with the glasses? Drew. He's doing the Price is Right right now.
Oh, Drew Carey. Drew Carey, my guy.
He might I like be Drew the, Carey. I do too. Yeah. Hey, but he's like the biggest person that I could think of off the top of my head out of Cleveland,
Ohio.
Right. Yes. And his show was lovely. I love their show. But like he but had to go. He had to go somewhere. Yeah. But when he got his chance, he brought it back home.
I like
you know
that.
What I'm saying? I like if that. I ever got like the opportunity to do something, I would like write a sitcom about my life. You know what I'm saying? And how things. I don't want to give too much of it away because the idea is definitely
in my
head. No,
but I like it.
You know what I'm saying? I would. You know,
I like the Drew Carey on comparison. I think that's insightful as hell.
Right. He still had to go to New York or L.A. And even the people that go to L.A., they still got to come back in comedy and either go through New York or Atlanta because those are the two biggest, in my opinion. And now Austin is breeding now as well.
The great philosopher Beanie Siegel said,
yes,
sometimes you gotta go away to make a comeback. And most of the niggas that go don't even come back.
That's true.
These things staying true throughout time. You know what I mean? Throughout time. Now, somebody that went away and came back, and then shortly thereafter we lost, first words you heard when you walked in this building was, it's a great hoodie.
Yes.
Can we speak to my brother Chris Cotton, please?
Yo, Chris was one of the nicest.
Comedy Central Chris,
yes,
by the way.
Yes. Chris Cotton was one of the nicest people I ever met in my life.
Absolutely.
And I consider him a friend because he would call me outside of comedy. And he would give great advice. Now, when I first started doing stand-up, and still to this day, a lot of my stuff is one-liners, quick hitters, and puns.
Mm-hmm.
To a lot of people, puns are terrible and hacky.
Yeah,
Chris hates puns.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, the way you do what you're doing, you make the crowd enjoy it. And so I would never tell you to stop doing puns.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like it works for you.
Right. And that, it works and for you. That's works the kind of dude he was. Me and him, we used to have conversations about religion.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't really that religious. But if I'm not mistaken, his father is a pastor.
Mm.
Right. And so he would go to his father's church, you know. Not every week, but maybe two or three, you know, I mean, a couple times a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, he was big on having his being together with his family and that Absolutely. Kind of thing. And me, I was raised in the Baptist church, and then I also went to Catholic school.
Me too.
And, right. So,
I'm with you.
A lot of that stuff.
Gets
and
crazy.
It, right. It gets and then crazy. You know, then you
I used
hear,
to challenge theology all the time.
I still do. And I don't challenge it.
Not, I mean, in class. Like, in Catholic
right.
school. Yeah. The priest used to look at me like, you know I can't answer that.
Right. And but I wouldn't challenge it in that way. Me, I was more so like, yo, we was going to church every Sunday, and then we would have the joints where, like, revival. So you would be at church every night of the week,
yep.
and the pastor would preach on...
But that's club church. That's
club
homecoming.
Church.
That's homecoming.
Yikes.
That's homecoming.
Right.
Week.
But they would. But they. All right. So what they would do with the revivals at the church I used to go to, they would take like one paragraph, maybe like 4 or 5 verses, 6 verses,
mm-hmm.
and every pastor that week would preach on the same
topic.
Verses.
Right.
But they would all spin it a different way.
Right.
And it's like, yo,
This is performance art at its best.
Right. Like, so, I...
You know, so, they say preach in the final hustle. My bad.
Anyway. Nah, you good.
You know they say that, right?
Listen, right? And I don't know if it's a comedian that said it or somebody said this. And I because I didn't come up with this idea on my own, but when I heard it, I was like, yo, that's pretty good. If you look at America today, there's not a big difference between pastors and pimps.
A lot of them were.
And that doesn't even, that's not even a color thing.
No.
That's like a hustle thing. Mm-hmm. And so, plus with me and religion, I went back, I did a lot of searching. There are at least 13 deities that were born to a virgin in a manger on December 25th. Easter is really Ishtar, which is like a Hindu goddess that changes it from winter back to being fertile in the spring and that kind of stuff. And I was like,
which is an earth thing.
Right. And a lot of religions come from astrology. Like all of it is star talk.
And a lot of the rules are based on geography.
Agreed. And so it's like
I don't want to
have a fight or an argument over what color Jesus was.
I don't have to.
I'm not going to.
I don't feel the urge to.
And if religion makes your life better, if your spirituality it's makes you a better person. Line.
If Allah makes my son a better man than Jesus can.
Who am I to step in front? Yeah. Yeah.
It's the men of society line.
I mean, well, but see, that's the thing.
Shout out to Charles Dutton, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I met him in an airport.
The
first time I ever flew, we were flying from Orlando back to Philadelphia. And when we went to go pick our bags up, he was standing in line waiting
bro,
for his.
Bro, he used to be in the market I'm like, by yo, my college so all the time. Cool. I went to school in Baltimore. He used to be out there all okay. the time, right off Perrin Parkway. He'd be in the market in the middle of the night by himself.
Yeah, because that's probably the one time he could go and not be bothered.
But he was regular, though, like super regular.
Yeah, he's a regular dude.
He don't want no
attention. If you look back into his stuff, he was like, yo, I did all kinds of shit.
Right.
And then I ended up acting and like.
But he was brilliant, though. He gave speeches on them shows. I got a personal homie that he was trying to help make a change at one point.
Okay.
And my man called me and was like, bro, the only person that know Baltimore like better than me is you. Like, if I'm going to move out there, you going to come with me? Because he was going to put him up.
Okay.
And I'm like, bro, just go.
Yeah, you can't. Some just things go. You're just not supposed to say no to.
I'll pull up. Just go. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't no acting shit. He took an interest in this guy, and he said, I see you look like you're going through some things.
I want to help you.
Figure something out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Those that can do, man. Those that can
That's why
do.
I said shout out Charles Dutton when we got there. We going hard, but that's what we do.
Yeah.
That's what we do. But yeah, but we was talking about Chris.
Oh, back to Chris. Mm-hmm. Just a good... I've only seen him mad one time. And the one time I saw him mad, he was being provoked by somebody who's still a comedian, who's not going to be named. But it's like, how do you make the meekest person... Like, because he wasn't a pushover.
He didn't walk around like where he was from, though.
Right. He was from South Philly. Right. Like, he was from...
He grew up with everybody.
With Point Breeze.
He
like,
grew up with everybody.
And so... But he was just kind and cool. And he loved music as much as he loved comedy. And he lived for comedy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I still miss him, man. I really do. And it wasn't like we was daily operation friends. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't go a week or 2 weeks without seeing him. Like, it'd be sometimes, like, so the Open Mic King thing, it doesn't bother me anymore. But at the time, mm-hmm. we'll say between 2012 and we'll go 2016, mm-hmm. I was on stage at least 7 times a week. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. With the comedy week being from...
I know rappers like that. Open mic showcase.
Right. Yeah, I'm like, you gotta go get because I'm not a dude and I
salute it.
I still can't sit in I can't sit in my house and there's mirrors in my living room. I can't sit in the house and just do stand up. I have to be either in front of people or I can't practice it that
There's
way.
Also another thing of like if you got work, you can't do nothing with it in the house. worked on selling the house.
I heard that, but like there's other stuff that I'm doing that I can do in the house, but no, I just can't put this
comedy form. You need to get that work in the streets.
Yeah, the work got to be in the streets. For sure, that, I get what you're saying. You're saying no shower shoes in the day room. Right? That's what you said. And I agree with that. Like, but at home, like, I, like
you're so right, but go ahead.
Like, the last joke that I wrote, me, my lady, and my son came up with it in the car. You know what I'm saying? And I was saying something to him, and he was just out the blue, like, but you don't put a butt on that. And instantly in my head, I went BBL. So I'm like, and I've tried it on stage, and I'm working on it, but I was like, you know, if... And my lady is a big proponent of this as well. If you say something, if you say a sentence and you put butt in it, it negates everything that came before that sentence.
Those is niceties and fluff.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I had a good, you know, I had a great time, but it's like, well, you didn't have, a great time. I love you, but. You don't love me. That's what you're telling me. But nobody looks at a woman about to get a BBL and says, don't put a butt on that.
You know what's crazy? I've said it. You don't need it. You good.
Most times, they don't even talk to anybody about it before they do it. And
yeah, they sneaking off and then they hide and then, yeah.
Ladies, if you don't need to know. Don't put a butt on that. Yeah, definitely don't put a butt on that. But ladies... I can't speak for all men. I can't even speak for just black men. But most men prefer you as you are. If we're barking up your tree, it's because we want to meet the real you.
There's an immediate gratification piece that's missing, that nobody's acknowledging. A man that wants you long term is worried about what that shit going to look like when it fall apart in 20 years. A motherfucker that's on your ass because you got an ass...
is only there for the couple days or that day.
But you prefer the immediate gratification of motherfuckers looking at you and you blame it on how your clothes fit you when they make clothes that fit everybody
anyway.
And make them look. And I got a Greek story about the baddest chick I seen had on linen pants and a white button up and with a sports bra.
Completely covered.
And it was buttoned halfway, you know, halfway down, halfway up. Right. And she walked down the street and it was naked out there. And every nigga on the sidewalk said, it was like a Red Man video. It just slowed down. Like,
yeah. When she smacked the bike into the car?
Yeah, but it was just like she just walking through Stone Cold Aaliyah vibes.
Sexiest thing I seen
to 9 o'clock in the morning and I was out there all night.
And we've lost that as a culture. I don't know who to blame. And maybe there is no one to blame. It's just the way that things are.
I blame us not dealing with our insecurities because twerking has become a default. But that, there's a camera on. I don't know what to do. I got anxious. Let me bop my ass.
That goes on both sides.
But y'all used to hate the strippers.
Nobody hates strippers.
No, the women used to hate the strippers. They used to look at strippers like scum.
But now everybody...
You go to the strip club with them, now you want to be them for free.
But what happened, we'll say, post-95, is people realize I don't have to have a strip club. I don't have to have a stripper from a strip club. I have a stripper in this bedroom. And so now, and then with the advent of social...
But amateur twerking sucks. So a lot of these chicks... That's one of my... I got t-shirts that say that.
Amateur twerking sucks.
Absolutely.
Is there an amateur way to... There's a right way and a wrong way.
There's breaking your back, trying to make your ass shake, and then there's the chick that can do one cheek, two cheek.
Yeah,
agreed. It's the chick that can stand up straight. It's the motherfucker that can make it clap. Agreed. Like, there's levels to all of this shit, man. And I pay for tricks. I done seen a lot.
Fair enough.
If y'all can seesaw each other on the pole, I'm throwing ones. I don't care about you breaking your back. That looks ugly.
Looking like the chick from Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, that's an accurate meme gift thing. That's accurate as hell.
Yeah, it is.
Most of them look like that.
But that's the thing.
They get to hide their stomach. They get to only show a portion of their faces, but all about angles.
True. Well, that's been women forever, though. Before social media, chicks had online, they just had pictures of neck up. Just neck up. No titties in the picture, just neck up.
You know what's crazy? I'll see certain women in traffic, and I'll be like, she bad as shit on her Instagram. Cause she pretty as hell.
She got the
she got filters, everything from here on up. Mm-hmm. She good.
Marvelous. Derek, shout out to Derek Gaze. He has a joke where he was like, yo, a lot of these chicks, man, they be, they look like somebody poured a soup on a sandwich.
Yo.
So, and I hate to tell another person's joke, but it fits so well right here. He was like, you ever just take a sandwich and then pour soup on it? Yo. And then put it in a dress? And I was like, yo, this is brilliant.
That's brilliant.
Shout out to Derek Gaze. Yo, but here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. People stopped just wanting to deal with people. And so when I was growing up, how old are you? I'm 46.
41.
All right. So we same, mm-hmm. we seen this, basically the same shit. Mm-hmm.
My sister's the same age as you. I understand your whole.
Right. You know what I mean? I'm just a season older.
Right.
When we was growing up, when you would meet a chick, if you liked her, you got a number and all that, first couple dates, you would meet her representative.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? That go for, that still happens today. Like, the first time you meet somebody. You
could be a representative for 3 months.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. Some people been married for 20 years, lifetime. Only know the fucking representative.
Women have admitted waking up before their husband to get their face right and go back to act like they was asleep. Like, it's crazy.
That's terrible. I just dropped
that's
the real.
That's a real thing. I just
dropped the real today about that, about how you wear makeup all the time and I've never seen you. You've been lying to me since I met you.
No. You prove to me you a baddie. Be a baddie as you get out the pool. Get out the fucking pool. Get in the pool.
Go swimming.
Hop in the shower. Get out the pool and tell me you still a fucking
baddie. Yo, we used to go places. And like I would have a room or whatever and be like, yo, come take the shower right quick.
Right.
We was out all night. Yeah. Like, come take the shower. No, I don't want. What you mean?
What are you hiding from water?
You don't
for?
Want a shower? Like, have a good night, shorty. You good.
You about to look crazy. It's all crazy. Good. You about to, it's about to be, I'm going to get you something.
What I was saying was, you meet the representative. And sometimes, a lot of times, people don't get to meet the real person. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? And so, social media has people hiding in vault rooms, whereas the social media is the bank. Uh-huh. So I can go in the bank anytime I want. Uh-huh. But I can't go into the vault unless you let me in there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it's more about, everybody is more so just going to the bank. Nobody wants to put anything in the deposit box. Nobody wants to go into the vault to see what the actual person is, because the aesthetics of the bank is so great. They give lollipops to the children. They pop popcorn for you if your wait is more than 10 minutes.
But when I can constantly manipulate what I put on display, so whatever I get, like if I'm a female and I'm only showing you the greatest sides of me all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you buy into that. When you burn out of that, my next post is one man's trash is another man's treasure. Now, mind you, I replied to one of these before. And I said, until the next man finds out it's trash too. And I went through something over that because she thought that I was talking about something that she had with somebody that I didn't know.
No,
was
they
going.
Right, didn't even
like,
know.
I'm just
they
talking
like
about
trigger.
The fact that like you had your representative. That's right. All I was talking about.
The great,
you make trash look cute.
The
sometimes.
Great philosopher, the former Sixers announcer, Mark Zumoff, used to say about Theo Ratliff all the time: he's turning garbage into gold.
Yep.
Right, and so when you meet somebody and let's say you down and out or they're down and out, both of y'all down and out or whatever. If you help each other out of a situation instead of just helping yourself, it's like build.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And people don't
build.
Yeah, they don't know how to, or they don't know how going about building becomes. You know what I'm saying? I'm me myself. I fall short on the little things sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I be meaning to do these things.
I wanted them.
You know what I'm saying? And it's not purposely, but I sometimes I'll just fall short. And I have to be reminded. And I'm okay with being reminded.
My mom got her birthday gift a week late. I ain't shit, bro.
You wasn't a week late on your birthday, though, was
it? And I had to exchange it.
Well, the exchange's not your fault.
Yeah, because she's a lady.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know,
yeah.
It is what it is.
Correct. I mean, I don't know. You know what? I don't like this divide that we have. And it's really only on social media because black people still loving each other and get married and all that.
I'm going to keep it real. Social media, a lot of people that's on there and a lot of our counterparts that's on there believe that that shit is law because when they take it and they put it in a group chat, it becomes law. Just like if you have an argument or discrepancy with a woman and she takes it to her group chat, they're all going to tell her she was right about it. Now she's right.
Depends on the friends that you have.
Exactly. But we're talking about a majority of the people that buy into this shit are low vibrational and insecure.
I can agree.
The market is the market.
The market's going to be the market. The market is the market. Whether you're on social media
or not. Because motherfuckers that know better than to say some shit that we all figured out by 18 and act like it's gold on Facebook at 40.
At 40. Yeah, agreed.
But none of your shit is retroactive. None of your shit goes back to damn. Maybe that's why me and my baby dad wasn't getting along. Maybe he wasn't ain't shit. I just had this realization
maybe,
at 40.
Maybe, but see, here's the thing. And and I don't want the ladies to be the only ones getting bashed on.
No, it's niggas a lot horrible
of,
too.
There's a lot of fellas that are terrible.
Niggas is horrible.
Terrible.
And I'll never say we, but. Niggas is horrible.
In general, is we. It is.
Niggas is horrible.
I'm not an ain't shit nigga, and I try my best not to be. I don't even use the word nigga on stage. I try my best not to have it on my pod. I'm using it on your show, and I wish y'all would exit out, but you don't have to. But when like as a group, you look at certain things, and it's like you don't respect yourself, so you can't respect.
You're not adding value. You're not identifying value. You see what I'm saying?
But everything can't be monetary.
No, value is not about monetary. Mm-hmm. Value is about where you spread your seed. Value is about what you identify as worth bragging about or putting light on. That's value because that's what you value. True. If everything is about, oh, shit,
My wrist on my
steering wheel.
Mm-hmm. Appearances.
You see what I'm saying?
The thing that.
And mind you, you catch fish with super bait. I get it. I get it.
You don't catch the right fish. You
see
catch
what I'm talking
all
about?
The fish.
You see what I'm saying?
Because it's like something shiny, and everybody goes, oh.
"Hey!"
But then you know what
you
I'm
gotta
saying?
Deal with all the bullshit that come with it.
Yeah, you do.
You got to deal with all of it.
That's why I said, if I become a superstar, that'd be nice. But I just want to live comfortably. Hey, Lump was on that. Lump did this.
I know you I know ain't sharing saying? My bed with the world at this great age I made it to. Is you crazy?
Fair enough.
So I'm not super baiting. Them super bait days is...
If
I didn't do it in high school with a jump shot...
Say word, son. I had a cousin when I was younger. He told me, and I was a little bit older than him. I was maybe 2 years older than him. And he said to me, he said, yo, go get the newspaper. So we got it was a newspaper on the steps. And he took the newspaper in, and we go inside. He took a marker. He took a dollar bill. And he drew around it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he drew around it. Mm-hmm. He did that about 5 times on each page. And then he sat there and cut that shit out. And then he took that dollar. He took all them big size dollars and wrapped them together and put like 10 ones around it and put a rubber band on it and put it in his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why are you doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, because they see that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, but that's fake. That's not, you know what I'm saying? That's not, I don't want to appear to be something that I am not.
A fake chain just draw motherfuckers that think it's a real chain.
This chain fake as
shit.
Well,
I mean, say that.
But you know what it is? This was a birthday present to myself.
Mm-hmm.
2016, I was fucking homeless. I just got off the fucking street when my birthday came.
So well, I didn't say that about your chain.
No, I'm saying that about
all right, I just want to be clear.
I went on Instagram.
People love Lump. Don't have them mad at me.
No, I went on Instagram and I bought this for myself because every year that had went by maybe the past 2-3 years, I hadn't done shit for me.
But let's talk about that. Chains, tattoos, shit like that. It's about what it means to you.
That's what it's supposed to be.
That's what it's supposed to be.
It's supposed to be.
It's supposed to be. Everything don't gotta be for everybody or to keep up with status quo. That's crazy.
Agreed.
Keeping up with the Joneses is ridiculous because they lying.
it ain't even so. Social media is crazy because I want you to see. I want you to see. But the problem is the people that are doing what they're supposed to, you never see.
Right. Right.
So you don't know what the right example
is. If you're not the trained eye, because most eyes ain't trained. I'm with you.
Right. And so that I think that gets lost in translation. The fact that here's something, here's a deep dig that we don't have to really cover, but I was born in 1977.
Right.
Right. Civics, the class, civics, was taken out of Philadelphia's public schools in 1979.
Okay.
Civics teaches you how to deal with police, it teaches you light banking, it teaches you regular life
things, right?
Activities.
Yeah.
But they took that before 1980 out of Philadelphia schools.
Intentionally.
Right. So it's like they're almost purposely raising a bunch of
recidivists.
85ers.
But oh shit. That was even more precise than I had. I'm with you. Now, because we going all over the place and I can talk to you all day.
Yeah. I can talk.
And we ain't nowhere near done, but you just started a new platform.
How so?
You said you started the No Chaps.
Yes, I did. Thank you. All right, so before we even get into that, because we're talking about the No Chops podcast.
Well, sip that first. Let's toast to the No Chops podcast before you get into the water.
So,
absolutely, man. I'm excited for that for real.
And I'm happy that I was able to do it, that the opportunity presented itself. And
talking to you now makes me more excited for your pod to start doing it.
I'm like I said, I'm trying to get these clips out, and we only on episode 3. Episode 5, my pop shows up. So please check that episode. And me and my dad, we have like what you would call like a working relationship. And what I mean by that is when I was 8 years old, my pop started taking me. My pop had owned an appliance business on 52nd and Larchwood called Hamilton's Washing Dryer.
I know where that's at.
Right next
your
to the Chinese store.
Your pop probably knows
store.
My grandfather.
Probably so. Yeah. I feel like that's the thing. Because you from what? Your people's from 55th and Cedar? Am I wrong?
My people's is from a couple different places, but it's right around.
Yeah, it's like it's within it's right walking around. Distance. Yeah, so right when I was growing up, the park across the street at 52nd between Pine and Larchwood was called Black Oak. It's called Malcolm X now.
Mm-hmm.
But my pop owned Hamilton Washing and Dryer Service. So at 8 years old, he used to take me into people's houses. And you know what I mean? That's how I learned how to deal with people.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So from the age of 8, and then I started delivering appliances at 15.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so I just been dealing with the general public like on their terms.
I grew up in barbershop, so I learned how to.
Right. I come to your house.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's no greater, and I was saying this last night on my pod. There's no greater feeling than going to somebody's house and making them watch television. Like I come into your house.
Yo.
Like I come in your crib and I'm like, yo, just show me what I need to do. If it's like let's just say it's the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
You just gotta show me where the fridge is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna ask you a couple questions. And then if you don't take the hint that I'm gonna be okay and you can roll,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna need you to go watch some TV. I just need a couple more minutes. Anyway, before we go any further, she brought me the water and I need to rinse out. My podcast is called the No Chops Podcast. It's on YouTube. Please look it up. It's where I chop it up with No Chops. And that's what we're going to do now. Because I got the good teeth with me and I can't smoke with a man. So
man.
That's why I did not indulge while we were doing that.
And it's
that.
Funny because you know I was going to get to that. Like, you know what No Chops mean, right? But I was waiting for you to get through your spizzle and you was doing good. But what do you feel like you have and will gain from adding this to the things you have going on?
One, I tried to do like podcasting maybe 10 years ago. Shouts to David Piccolo, meaning we made one episode of the podcast. I can't even remember what it was called. I don't know what happened to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I could talk and, I feel like I could make a fucking difference. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's what it really is. Whether it be about comedy, everyday life. If you ask me something, I'm going to give you, without being disrespectful, the best answer that I can give you.
You respect every stage.
I try to.
Every audience, so to speak.
Yeah, I do. I respect.
So it don't matter how many people audience. See this motherfucker, if it get to somebody, you still understand what that means to the world.
Yes. When I started writing jokes, my thing was, I need everybody that's over the age of 16 to understand what I'm saying. So you need like a 10th grade education. At least. A sophomore or junior in high school.
And a local newspaper understand. Is written on a third grade level. So
I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh, wow.
No, that tells you what we're dealing with in society.
They took civics out of Philadelphia schools in 1979.
Yeah, the average newspaper besides the business journals and all of that shit, third right. grade reading level.
I did not know that.
It has to appeal to the people.
Yikes. Yeah, it has to appeal to the lowest common denominator. Exactly. Is that what the, yikes.
You sell more. Walmart.
When I was in the third grade, my dad used to make me read him the Enquirer. I would have to read at least the first page.
Mm-hmm. And that was the thing.
And that's how I got into sports, because he would give me like the regular newspaper, and I'm sitting there reading out loud this stuff. And I'm like, dude, can we get to what the Sixers did last night? Mm. I did not see the game. You would not let me stay watch up.
Yep.
Right. So I know they won. Let me see. And so, you know, I mean, that's really how I got into like basketball and hockey. I like hockey too. I like
hockey. I've never been to a professional hockey game, bro. I'm going. It's one of my. It ain't. I ain't saying bucket list because it ain't that big. But it's one of the next.
Hey, you're gonna have fun.
It's one of the next things I'm doing.
The first time I went to a hockey game, comedian from Philly, who's I believe he's out in Austin now. His name is Chris O'Connor. I think he's with Gillis and them. He was like, oh, you've never been to a game? And me, him, and another dude went to the Flyers game, and they got shut out. But I was just happy. It was a birthday present, and you know what I mean? I got it off my bucket list.
Yeah, we outside.
And then a couple years ago during the pandemic, I ended up at another one. And we lost that game too, so I'm not good with.
Bad luck.
Yeah, on the Flyers.
I ain't going with you.
But I'm going to watch on TV. And
I want to go when everybody say, oh, we going to the bar after the game. Not when they say, oh, we going.
Can I tell you my biggest, as a sports fan, like in Philly, as a sports fan, the greatest thing that ever happened was the Eagles winning the Super Bowl.
I knew
you
was going to say
But, mm-hmm. not even a close second. I'll say 1 and 1A.
The game night, one of the Lakers and the Sixers?
No.
Okay.
In 2008, me, my brother Jonathan, rest in peace to him. I love you, Johnny Walker Black. I miss you. I love you. I miss you. I wish I could kiss you. That's my brother.
I love my brother.
I miss him every day. He passed away during the Eagles Super Bowl run. Mm. The week before we played in the championship.
Wow.
And we buried him 2 days before the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Right.
Oh, so, let me find out your brother made it happen.
Yeah, I listen. And when the Eagles won the game, my dad said the same thing that they said when John Elway won his first one, which was, this one's for John.
I heard that.
Yeah,
where? I heard that.
So,
I like that.
It was the Sixers' home opener in 2008. We still had Elton Brand and Andre Iguodala was on.
I hated that y'all got Elton Brand. That's when y'all was in the middle of buying bad knees.
We still was.
Y'all was buying bad knees. Yeah, y'all bought Chris Webber knees. Y'all got everybody Jaleel back Okafor, then, bro. Y'all was buying bad knees and selling tickets. It was weird.
This was before the tanking or the process.
No, this is when they were still just trying to sell seats.
No, because they were the third or fourth team ever to win. As an 8 seed, they beat number 1 because Derrick Rose got hurt.
And the Eagles and the Sixers are always top 5 in retail revenue anyway.
Yeah, but they ball it. So
no matter
listen,
how bad they are.
Right? It's the Sixers home opener. We go in. It's, like I said, it's Elton Brand and Andre Iguodala. I don't remember if they won that game. They may have. But after the game, we go downstairs to leave. But the Phillies are playing game 5 of the World Series right across the street, and it was the game where if you're not a Philly sports fan, It was game five. They tried to start the game 2 days earlier, but they played up until like the fifth inning, and it started raining. Yo, you know what I said
to that? It wasn't raining. It was drawn.
Yeah, it was drawn. But you know what I said to that? We hadn't won since the Sixers in 83. It was 25 years of losing that had to be washed away.
I heard that.
Before we won that title.
He bought the flood.
Yo, hey, listen, Noah might as well got the boat together. I'm trying to tell you.
Bought the flood.
So, after the game, we go downstairs, and there's like a smoking part inside of that building where you can like watch the game and smoke cigarettes, but you can go back in the game. So we go back there, but the game is over, and the Phillies are playing. They're letting everybody watch it in the game. I mean, outside the building.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like they got it on the jumbotron in the stadium. People didn't have to leave.
Yeah.
But me, my dad, and my Uncle Jeff, and my brother Jonathan were standing outside. That's when the city door, right? Yeah.
That's when the city door, right?
Yeah. So we standing outside, and Brad Lidge throws the pitch, and, you know, he strikes out, and they, you know, they run over and they grab him. Mm-hmm. One of the players got hurt in that, but they won it all, and I grabbed my younger brother. Because in 1983, when the Sixers won the title, the day that they had the parade, my pop moved us to Virginia. So I didn't go to the 83 parade. I didn't, for real, I was five. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was not.
It wasn't on your radar anyway.
Right.
Right.
So this is the first world championship I ever got to see. My brother as well. And we jumped and hugged each other and jumped in a circle and cried and fell to the ground. And, oh, it was so good. I walked from, I had parked, like I used to work at the stadium. So I knew how the traffic and all that worked. I parked my car at like Pass Young. I walked from the stadium to Pass Young, picked my car up, went and got my pregnant son's mother and one of my closest friends and his pregnant son. Girlfriend. Listen, we go down.
You're so sentimental right now.
We drive back to Broad and Samson, and we just sitting there on one of the. They got the like the. There's trees coming out.
Right.
And then they got like a ceramic like structure around it.
Yeah.
So we just all sitting on that and chilling. And we're sitting there and I'm just so happy. And I haven't stopped crying. I cried that whole night.
Drive?
The drive, the walk to the car, going to get her and them coming back.
That's crazy.
Just crying because I've never, as a Philadelphia
sports
fan.
No, I'm not mad at it at all.
No, you know, I don't care if you're mad or not. This was for me.
Fuck me.
Not even everybody. But listen, I worked at Veterans Stadium I did the last two Philly seasons. I did the last Eagles season. I was at the Vet when the Eagles lost to the Buccaneers.
Oh.
Right. I was serving eggs that day in the Hall of Fame room. At the stadium kitchen, 250 kitchen. Right? Mm-hmm. I served eggs to Mike Quick and Merrill Reese that morning.
That's crazy.
We was up 10-0. You couldn't tell me we wasn't going to the Super Bowl. In the middle of that room, it's like a super brunch.
Because
it's the NFC Championship game. It's the last game of the season, regardless of what happens. They got seafood. They got breakfast. They got lunch. They got sandwiches. At the end of the game, somebody took, it was a ice sculpture with an eagle over an end, like the NFC Championship game, and an eagle holding a football over top of it. They took that motherfucking ice sculpture out the back, threw it on the ground. And as the fans was leaving, they was kicking the shit out of that fucking ice sculpture. I had been scorned so many times in so many years.
That's crazy.
Just being a Philly sports fan in general, Iverson and them, you knew they had no chance in hell. But just the fact that they made it to the finals, that was Toronto's year. Toronto would have had a better chance against the Lakers with Kobe.
Because
they had Vince Carter. And T-Mac was on the bench.
Yep.
They had a better chance than we did, but we beat Ray Allen and them. We beat Toronto and them.
Oh, can I tell you my Sixers Lakers story real quick? You done?
Yeah,
you almost
done? You got it. Go ahead. There was a point in there somewhere, but
you said you've been scoring.
Yeah,
so
I've been scoring so many times. So
finish that.
When they, like that night, you know, we went out and we sat there, and you know, they always celebrate when you win the championship.
That's your favorite night, right?
We sitting on the corner of Broad and Samson on one of them ceramic things. We sitting up there. I'm sitting up, my son, I'm leaning.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
they doing what they doing, you know, the other couple that's with us.
Right.
We looking down, and the streets are like the streets are fucking flooded, packed,
flooded.
We look down the street, and coming around, you know, when you in Philly, you drive around City Hall, it only go one way.
Right.
So there's a bus coming around, and it's a yellow fucking school bus, but you can see that there's riot cops on it.
Oh.
So I'm like, oh shit.
Yep.
So the fucking fans, I love Philly, and we be on some other shit when we win or lose. These motherfuckers start shaking the bus.
Full of riot cops.
The motherfucking cop put the thing down, let the window down, stuck his head out with his baton, said, crack him. Hey, it's time to go home.
Yep.
Anyway,
yeah.
The parade for that championship was on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
I let that fucking parade go by me 4 fucking times like it was for me. You heard me? I never thought we would win again.
I heard that.
I let that parade go by me 4 fuck. I got off it. I got off at City Hall. I let it go by me.
Mm-hmm.
I got on the train. I got off at, what's 2 slops up? The one after Broad and Lucas. I got off there, went upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Went right back downstairs after they passed me, got back on.
Yo, you had got a off at tech.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
They got a trans.
Yes, I did. Swipe right back on.
Yo, that's funny though, but I'm not mad at none of that.
It's just.
But let me tell you my Sixers Lakers game one story. I graduated high school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Lakers fan.
What year?
I graduated in 01.
Okay. Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Fuck you. But props to Kobe Bryant. I didn't appreciate that mental then. Go ahead.
So
I know a few of y'all.
My whole family, friends, all that is at the crib.
I used to be one of y'all.
What's at the graduation, mm-hmm. I'm Nick Van Exel, Eddie Jones. But
okay.
That's when I came on.
Magic Johnson.
So you ahead of me, but yeah.
I'm a little.
I was Kevin Johnson, and he kept getting hurt. I went to Nick Van Exel.
Yeah, I was Magic Johnson, James Worthy when I first got into the NBA.
So what happens is I got my whole family in the crib. And I know we got the Sixers. And they fucking beat us. And AI step over to Ron Lue. And all of this shit. We was just celebrating me.
Right.
Now I'm getting grinded up. All, you know.
But you won. It took 4 more games.
Yeah, nigga. That
was game one.
That fucked my whole graduation night. I went to graduation with the. This so 01. I had the yellow polo chinos on.
Yikes. Okay.
Yellow joints.
Okay.
Mary Chinos.
Yeah.
White button up. And I had the Looney Tune tie that meshed in, you know what I'm saying? The chinos and all of that. Cool. I went through that because you got to have a robe on anyway.
Yeah.
So I was like, the little piece they going to see going to be bright as hell.
Right.
I wore the yellow joints. You know what I'm saying? I was fly as I was having my way that day. So that fucking game, bro. But that's my only part.
But you ended up winning.
We won it all. But I knew we was going to win it all. That wasn't really the thing.
We played that series all.
Because, you know, the next game, that's when Shaq started stunting, doing in and outs, behind the back moves and shit.
You know what changed that series? The fact that after game one, when AI did the step over, Kobe went to film and said, next game, I'm sticking Iverson. And we'll never deal with that again. And they didn't have to. And Iverson still
fought. I don't like that step over identified Tyronn Lue's career. He was nicer than that. He wasn't no superstar, but Tyronn Lue was a quintessential
He was a solid dude.
Super solid point guard.
I can name 20 better point guards.
You can't name Eric Snow.
Definitely would not.
Eric Snow shot 3% from 3-pointers.
Definitely would not. But the thing...
You know how many big men and Sixers got right now that shoot better than Eric Snow?
I'm not disagreeing with any of that. But I'm saying, the thing is... Well, one, Tyronn Lue made out because they won the championship that year, even with the step over.
He's a championship point guard.
And he ended up coaching for a championship.
Yeah.
So
he's actually a good coach.
Yeah, I would not take that from him.
Players fuck with him.
Yeah, because he'd know what it's like.
What it is, yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, Tyronn Lue made out.
We ain't never going to talk bad on a black coach anyway.
I would like to not to. I definitely, now the rest of the motherfuckers, fuck them. But I don't, you know.
You don't want to bring light to this shit. Mm-mm. Nah, mm-mm. We ain't doing that.
And I understand why Mark Jackson would never get a job. I really got to check out his pod. Cam and Mace put him on.
His pod is good.
I got to check
his son
him out.
On there. His son actually had a pretty decent basketball career. He ain't have his pop.
What's his son name?
They call him Blue. I forget his nickname is Blue. I forget his government.
Hey, yo, is it true that his brother was the N1 Tour Cadillac boy?
Yeah, Escalade is on.
Yeah, Escalade.
Escalade is his baby brother, the one that.
How the fuck? Rest in peace to Escalade. Yeah.
You know, Escalade was.
Yeah, he was bad. I know who he is. I didn't know that was his real brother, though. Somebody said that to me one day, and I was like, get the fuck out of here.
Look up them online, you'll see mad pictures. But if you look in their face, you know how,
they both got their grandma's grill or something like that.
It's like, damn, when you take away 45 pounds, maybe.
Right. They the same dude.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, even his son has his face. But his son is actually very intelligent and very witty and just.
His son played pro ball?
His son played, I think he played pro for a short amount of time, maybe.
Not that it mattered. Cause,
But he played for, Kyler Perry, he played for some of the best coaches in
fucking. So that was either Kentucky or UMass. Yeah. When Kyler Perry was UMass,
where
right?
Where was he at? I forget. Don't quote me on it.
Right.
Because on the first episode, they gave a resume. They on like they sixth now.
Yeah, that's what I did with my first episode of my podcast. I just did like a outline of me, and then we'll get another shit.
I think it's unique. I think you won't get a father-son situation when it applies to sports.
Right.
That resonates like theirs because. It makes me think about Jalen Brunson and
his dad was Rick, right?
Yeah, Rick Brunson.
He was like a Timberwolf, right?
Yeah. Okay. And when you see the training video that went viral of Jalen when he was young and his pop had him outside, knowing he could have had him in the gym, and the son was out there, he was bitching and all of that. It's like, no, Mark did the same shit with Blue. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to push him.
But you get to see
you're supposed to nudge him up. And you're supposed to love them up, nudge them up, and make them respect everything. And, you know what I mean? As long as you're not overdoing it.
I like that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As long as you're not over it. Because some of these dads.
Is super.
No disrespect. Because, listen, we need more dads. Like, be a dad. Please.
Some of these kids can't
take it. I had a dad. I'm trying my best to be a dad. But, you know, so to have your father in your life.
Is a blessing.
Is a blessing. When I was on the joint with Michael Collier said, yo, you need to quit your job. Start doing stand-up full-time. I said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do
that. I asked you for that quote 45 minutes ago, but go ahead.
I'm working on it. So he said, you need to quit your job and, immediately and just focus on stand-up. And I was like, we got bills.
Right.
3 weeks later, I was making an inspirational TikTok video on Life's Ugly. Follow me everywhere. Life's Ugly. So, I put no matter what's going on in your life right now, smile because it could always be worse, right? Hour later, I get laid off out of nowhere. Corporate takeover from my former company.
Wow.
They shall remain nameless, but a bigger company bought them and then they just fired everybody. And I was like one of the first heads of the rule. So an hour after I got laid off, I went and picked up my son. And he was literally, other than my lady, was like.
After you just told everybody to smile through everything.
Right. And I was hurt because I didn't do anything to lose the job, and it wasn't my fault that I was losing my job.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I told my son, and he said, Dad, you be all right. I said, you sure? He was like, nah, you cool. I was like, so you not ashamed of your toothless and jobless daddy? And he was like, I got a dad. I'm all right. I said, oh, yeah, you got it. You know what I'm saying? I said, you got me there. You know what I'm saying? And as as a man that had a dad growing up and then, like, I don't have the greatest relationship with my son. You know what I mean? If my situation was better,
right.
You know what I'm saying? We would. I don't have a bad relationship with my son, but I don't have the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so if situations were different, it would be what it is. But for him to say that to me, I was like, shit, you right. Like, I can't even.
Back to smiling.
Yeah, like, I was good. Like, and for real, like, my lady, you know, it's nothing that nobody could tell me that would make me feel better. You know what I'm saying? And so telling her, I told her, because that's, you know what I mean, that's upper echelon. You got to clear everything. She literally was like the first person I told.
And did you say you had to run everything through customs?
You got to clear everything through customs. I'm learning that through on the fly like a motherfucker. Because some shit come back and it's like, why the fuck?
Just negotiate.
Did this person tell me and you did? And I'm like, oh, you're right. I'm sorry. And so I got to clear. I'm trying my best to clear everything through customs.
Just make sure you're dealing with a country that negotiates with terrorists.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not a terrorist till I need to be. But...
Yo!
But, you know what I mean? But dealing with the boy on that, and he like, Dad, you cool. Like, and like my son, I love my son. Shout out to him.
Absolutely.
This was either 2021 or 2022. It's a comedian named Malcolm Hill. Shout out to Malcolm Hill. Mm-hmm. Malcolm Hill, been doing stand-up for at least 20 years. Mm-hmm. And he hosts the early show, or the show at Wilson's, with Toure. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's a couple years ago, Malcolm calls me on the phone. He says, Lump, I got these people, you know what I'm saying? They supposed to be... doing auditions for a movie. They looking for some comics as well. Come through, rock out, be here at 11. It's in Chester. Mm-hmm. I get my son primarily on the weekends. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's a Saturday, it's either a Saturday or a Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. So I grab young boy, throw him in the shower. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Well, he washed himself. I made him get in the shower, put it that way. And then I hop in the shower, we get dressed, we roll out there. We get to the place, and there's a lot of actors, a few comedians. Before we go in for my audition is basically my set. Mm-hmm. They was like, we need you to do 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. 2 minutes I have. Not worried about 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. I got to be clean? No. I can say whatever I want? Sure. Mm. All right, cool.
Even better.
Before we walk in the room, the lady that is in charge of the talent comes to me and she says, I know you know some people out here, but your son is going to be out here. Is it okay if he comes in the room with us? Like, we don't have a problem. My son has seen me perform before, so I have no problem with him coming in. So I'm like, sure. We go in, supposed to do 2 minutes. I get up, I start talking. A lot of my stuff, one-liners. Mm-hmm. I have quick hitters, smack, crazy stuff. I lost. That's a sidebar we'll come back to. Mm-hmm. One-liners, a lot of quick shit. So I'm 2 minutes in my head, because I know 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? When we first started doing comedy, like 5 minutes is like an inordinate amount of time. Right. It feels like 2 days.
Right.
But when you're doing it after 5 or 6 years, 5 minutes feels like not enough time. Right. Because it's really not enough time. You want to do so much.
You want to build,
I ended up doing 7 minutes. And like I flagged myself. I was like, yo, this is way too much.
That's my time.
Yeah, I've done enough here. Mm-hmm. Right. And
go out on a high.
Right. Go out. I don't even do a close. I got like 2-3 bangers that I usually close with. Mm-hmm. I don't use none of them. This is just regular, regular set shit. We walking out the room and my son is like 2 people behind me, but I can hear him. And he's like, my dad is amazing. You know what I'm saying?
Why are you trying to make people cry?
I swear, like, it twisted. On the movie Face Off, the first thing that John Travolta's character does when he switches is he interacts with the daughter. You think it's going to be something sexual, but he ended up showing her something that she needed.
Yep.
When you stab somebody, twisted. When I tell you in that
you
day.
You can't tell me nothing about Face Off.
Listen, when I tell you that day. Like, twisted the knife for me, like, on my heart, like, yo.
Turn Jim Carrey when he do the...
Yeah. I'm like, yo, this nigga, yo, my man.
That's like, heavy, man.
Yeah, like, it. So I know my son, like...
Gets it.
Yeah, he gets it. He loves me. This past year, last year, because he hasn't done it yet this year. Last year, he did stand-up 3 times. And he's 14 years old.
He about to catch you.
I'm good with that. I want him to be funnier and more successful. Than
you know
I
what
would
they? Ever be. You know what my dad said when I went to barbershop, and they said, "Oh, he almost taller than you." He said, "He'll never be smarter than me."
That's incorrect, though. You want to hear why? I had a gentleman. His name was Mr. Story. When my pop owned the store on 52nd and Larchwood, his establishment was on the corner, and Mr. Story was like a super pro black. HBCU, like he always tried to get the
shout out Morgan State,
right? So, He said to me one day, he said, how old are you? And at the time, I was like, I'm 26. He said, you're smarter than your father at 26.
Yeah.
But that, your father at 26 was tougher than you.
Now, see, the thing about it was, my dad always knew that he was really referring to wisdom. He was referring to the fact that he would have had to have dealt with more.
Mm-hmm.
To always be able to deal with me. And that was his angle. He just said it in his, you know what I mean?
Yeah, in his way.
Right. Because of who he was speaking to, actually. Because, you know, the barbershop got everybody from the gangsters, heathens, preachers, and the judges.
Everybody got to get a haircut.
If you got a decent barbershop. Right.
Everybody got to get a haircut.
So, like, I got a lot of random uncles. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, yo, through my pop's business and through church, I have a lot of random uncles.
Yep.
Like, I got that too. You got people that, you know, maybe I haven't seen in like 10 years. And when they see you, they go, hey, what's going on? And they give you a full hug.
And
like,
it's a rundown and it's resources attached to that.
Yes, all the time.
Absolutely.
All the time. It's about the relationships you build. And as long as you're decent to people, I feel like people would be decent back. You know what I'm saying? I've been trying to teach my son about a box. Now, as long as I'm in this box and I ain't bothering nobody, shouldn't nobody come bother me.
Absolutely.
That's not to say that they won't.
Absolutely.
But as long as I'm in my box and I ain't bothering nobody, there's no reason for nobody to come bother me. Now, we dance on the edges of that motherfucker a lot.
Absolutely.
More than we should sometimes.
Absolutely.
But we don't play outside of it. And if we play outside the box, we get back as soon as possible because safety first.
Something come with that. Right.
Yes, right. usually it does.
Right.
And I'm trying to like teach him that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know what I'm saying? That's something my pop showed me and told me without ever saying.
My OG said every man is granted 3 feet of circumference.
You're supposed to have it.
They say, you know what I'm saying? He also said, you say, yo, how you feel today? Every day above ground is
a good one.
You know what I'm saying?
Every day.
But he also said, every man is granted 3 feet of circumference.
As a free person, you supposed to,
So when I show boundary and you attest boundary, then I demonstrate.
There's testing boundary and then there's crossing.
Well, let's say crossing.
Yeah, if you cross,
then I demonstrate. But I also have the option to separate.
At all times.
I can always create my space.
At all times.
Like, the lesson goes both ways.
Facts.
You could also create your space.
You're supposed to.
You see what I'm saying?
You're supposed to.
Even in them situations.
Yes.
You don't look a wolf in his eyes. Sometimes you turn sideways.
Yeah, let him go by. if I don't acknowledge you, then you don't exist. Now, if you turn and focus on me after that, then it is what it is.
Or we can talk, but I don't want to be the threat.
I don't have to be the object.
I don't have to be threatening. I'm not getting my pose on. I'm not sizing you up right now. I'm leaving.
I'm regular.
I'm leaving space.
I'm in my box.
I'm leaving space.
I'm in my box.
I created my space.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And I think a lot could be learned from that because what's going viral right now is the man that said 5 minutes changed 10 years of his life.
Yeah, I saw that. Was that today or yesterday?
It's been going on for about a month now.
It popped up. I saw it. So, you know, sometimes you see a thing and then don't see it again.
I'm probably on there more than you anyway.
I go on Instagram, throw my stuff up. I might flip through every now and then, but I'm not on there enough to go on there
for bookings and all types of
stuff. I can dig it. But that's the classic story. It's always been, in some way, shape, or form, don't let 2 minutes ruin your next 20 years.
I don't think people understood Styles when he said, plug the fan in, let the sweat dry off, and then load the cannon. Like, yo,
you gotta stop and think.
He said, think smartest and retaliate the hardest, regardless, right? Mm-hmm. That's what he was saying. He was like, he also said, dirty niggas battle, be still. That was a true story.
I believe it.
He went to the studio lumped up that night. You know what I'm saying?
He got stroke.
Yeah, he got stroke. Wrong projects, wrong time. He sold that story multiple times.
Sometimes that happens.
This ain't that. But, like, all I'm saying is, like,
y'all look up to all these motherfuckers, but all y'all take from it is if I ain't gotta talk you to death, I hawk you to death. You're not listening to the other shit the motherfucker telling you.
Not at all. And a rapper named Evidence from California.
Okay.
And his thing is Dilated Peoples. Look them up.
Oh, you talking about Dilated Peoples? Yeah, okay, yeah, all right. I thought you were talking about somebody new.
No, he's the boy that's in that. It's them two rappers and they DJ Babu. It's him, Ira Science.
Right.
So him and Alchemist do a lot of stuff together.
Okay. Right. So he's still active.
Yeah.
When you said it, I'm thinking of fucking X's and A's upside down as V's. I was thinking of somebody brand new.
His name Evidence. But yeah. He said that he drops gems like on the run from police. And to me, that's some shit where it's like every interaction that you have doesn't have to show you how the world opens up, but collectively everything together should.
I heard that. It's the I Heart Huckabee's dope shit. You seen it, right?
Yes, I saw that.
All right, cool.
I'm a bit of a nerd.
I hung out with a rich nerd for a while.
Fair enough.
And we met on certain levels that the other homies wasn't. They wasn't.
Yeah, they wasn't going to check. Yeah, they wasn't going to check for that.
But I was learning and seeing what was going on. I figured some shit out, and I laughed a lot.
Nah, my pop showed me at a young age to be eclectic. You know, the day Ghostbusters came out, it used to be a fucking movie theater, 40th Walnut. My fucking dad took us out of, didn't let us go to school, and we went and watched Ghostbusters the whole day.
That's some shit my aunt would.
In like 84, either 83 crazy. Or 84, whatever year that was. We didn't go to school that day. We went and watched Ghostbusters. And then when the movie went off, we sat there. We watched it like 3 times. And after the second time, I think somebody came in and was like, yo, y'all. And so he went back out, bought tickets again. We watched that fucking movie three. Me, my dad, my brother Jonathan watched the Ghostbusters 3 times the day it came out. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's like ridiculous. Like,
but the thing of it
did
was.
Did he feed y'all?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Because that's like a shift.
We had popcorn and all
that's
that.
That's a shift.
You got to remember, it's the fucking 80s.
Yeah.
And so.
Popcorn was $2 for everybody.
Less than that, probably. You know what I'm saying?
No, a bucket was like $165.
Right, some shit like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? And not that he was balling. But
it was different.
Yeah.
It was different. Me and my aunt used to have damn near weekly movie dates.
Mm-hmm.
It was nothing. You know, I used to get to pick the movie. I could go see some rated R shit.
Right.
It was them days.
The cool
like,
people.
Yeah, man.
Go up to Shellham Mall, sit down, watch a fucking movie, come out and, you know what I mean, stroll the mall for a couple hours, go back, watch another movie.
I heard that.
We used to do that downtown, the gallery too. It used to be a movie theater, 19th and Chestnut. We used to go through there sometimes too.
I've been to damn near every movie theater in the area because my aunt was a savage. So, like, we went to county. We've been in the theater, the joint
out Willow Grove.
All type of
yo,
shit.
Yo, you know, you used to have good movies. They probably still got them. Mr. Joan, I think it's at Boris. The Ritz at Boris at, like, 2nd and Chestnut.
Mm.
They be having, like,
yeah, I was just at the Ritz.
I haven't been there in a few years.
No, last year somebody had a premiere there. I know a lot of people that's doing premieres. Shout out to them. Yo.
I need to get in that circuit. And it's not even about like promote myself or doing stuff. I just like, I've always been like an artsy dude. My brother Jonathan, rest his soul, he's a poet laureate. We ended up going to Orlando because then he got to perform in front of all the people that flew in for the conference and that kind of shit. Like, I've always loved art. My pop always put us on music. My son. A few years ago, before the pandemic, me and him, he liked to take walks and shit. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, yo, the art museum down there. We went down there on like a Tuesday. We went down there fucking in the summer. And it's like free for the day. Go in, look at all the shit, and then walk the whole Kelly Drive and all that kind of shit.
That's a long fucking walk.
But they tired that motherfucker out, and I could go do stand-up at night.
I took a shortcut.
Put a rubber on.
Strawberry Mansion Bridge, a motherfucker.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Sometimes I hate driving that motherfucker.
Yo, we went up the hill, across the bridge, down the hill, up, cut that bitch in half. But let the people know how to keep up with you, how to tap in with your podcast, when I'm going to be on the podcast, you know, all of that type of shit.
I feel like it was a Ghostbuster trap in there somewhere.
I mean, you know.
The My name is Lump. Like, is this, am I? Yes.
All right. Pick your camera. They all available. All
right, fair enough. My name is Lump. Life's Ugly Money Problem. My podcast is on YouTube. It's at the No Chops. At No Chops. NOCHOPS. On YouTube. I'm also on TikTok, Instagram. I post clips of the upcoming shows and the ones that just went by. I've only 3 episodes in. So,
ain't
yeah,
no
all
these. Ain't no only, three episodes. No big eyes and little U's. You started. I want to salute you for starting.
Thank you.
I want to salute you for letting the people grow with you. Say, I'm here right now.
I am
this
here
is
now.
What we got. This is the equipment we using. And watch how we make this motherfucker a Hold Joe Button production. Not to name drop niggas, but
I know what you mean.
Make it to the best that it can be.
I mean,
because
it's going
to
be good.
It's quality now.
Oh,
because everything that they getting from it is quality. Yeah, and you ain't cut no corners. So what happens is you learn and you grow. Mm-hmm. So it ain't no, it's only 3 episodes. Go check them 3 episodes. He got 3 more already ready for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, we got something to cut.
He's been growing and y'all gonna grow like you already doing the thing. You turning the corner, they don't even know it yet.
Yeah, so please follow me.
No 3 episodes.
By the time this come out, it's going to be 3 episodes.
But what I'm saying
is, we moving.
That's a big deal, bro.
Thank you. We'll see how it goes. I'm going to keep doing it because I was supposed to been doing it, but I haven't done it. So we got to do it. Yeah, man, I'm learning and shit. And I had one episode. I don't remember what number it was, but I came in. I was just tired. It was just before I got laid off. I was just tired and I didn't do homework for it, and I didn't, you know what I mean? I didn't have nothing prepared, and only did, I usually do, an hour, maybe an hour and a half at most. And I did, 37 minutes, and I just tapped out, I'm done.
That's cool.
You know what I'm saying? But I promised myself, not during the episode, but, of course, afterwards, that's not ever going to happen again. Even if I haven't written down the homework is being done.
See what I'm saying about
you know what I'm
how
saying?
You
like,
grow
I don't
it already?
I don't like feeling inadequate or feeling like I could have done more and didn't. You know what I'm saying? Right now I haven't eaten all day. I've been drinking. Well, I had a drink.
You've been sipping.
I had a drink. I was sipping. And I'm gonna be okay. But I know the first thing I gotta do when I go home is eat. Mm-hmm. I know that. You know what I'm saying? And then whatever happens, happens. You know what I'm saying? It's all about making sure that the next thing is covered. So Vince Lombardi had a quote, and it's one of my favorite quotes. Mm-hmm. I don't drop it all the time, but he said, we're going to chase perfection. And by chasing perfection, we're going to fail, but we're going to land on excellence.
Shout out to TTC. I have a quote that goes, know your place in the struggle.
I've been on the bottom of this struggle for a long time.
Not
it ain't about climbing out, but it's about making sure I got my head above water and being able to pull myself out.
I'm going
to
tell you a secret, and you halfway there. You ain't as low as you think you are. And on that note, tap in with my man Lump, man. The ball with you, brother. Appreciate you, brother. This is Sippin' with Sammy. I am Mr. Flash, and only the one and only Sippin' with Sammy. Sam Malone, Barstool Roog. If you ain't sippin' with Sammy, you ain't sippin' right. Please get your fucking life together. Damn, Sammy, you done fucked up. Damn, Sammy, you done fucked up. Avalanche music. Woke up, inspired to vibrate higher. Grab lighter, smack ass shower, refresh the manpower. Auto start, no sweat, right in front the steps. Made rights, made lefts, check mirrors every step. Chevy wet, black left met to little bro. Tip black, sunroof open, but guess what's in the dope? Ironically, you can never tell. She smoking, vibing, smiling, shining ass, she in hell.
Fly with me, ride with me. My presence was a gift. Open it right in front of me. I hope you like it. I hope you excited, cause I couldn't go and buy this at no store, cause it's priceless. You know how they say the time is. You gotta watch how you spend it now. It's getting expensive now. Got a nigga counting every minute down. You gotta cherish every moment for your day atonement. Before your body in that casket and it's laying dormant.
Fly with me, ride with me, touch the sky with me.
Notice a loss till it's after the math, but we gon' get it back. Worry about it after the fact. Matter of fact, no need to pack. We fly first class, like it's advisory. That's too far to search at, cause it's way bigger than me